It's Thursday, April 9th, and welcome to Higher IQ. You've probably heard of the placebo effect. A patient takes a sugar pill, believes it's medicine, and gets better. Most people file this under mind tricks and move on. But the placebo effect is far stranger, far more powerful, and far more consequential than that summary suggests. It works even when patients know they're taking a placebo. It has measurable effects on brain chemistry that show up on PET scans. It has gotten significantly stronger over the past 3 decades, but only in the United States. And it is now so powerful that it's preventing real drugs from reaching the market, because new medications can't prove they work better than nothing. The placebo effect is not imagination. When a patient takes a placebo and reports feeling less pain, their brain is actually releasing endorphins, the same chemicals triggered by real painkillers. In patients with Parkinson's disease, placebo treatments have been shown to trigger the release of dopamine, the neurotransmitter that Parkinson's drugs are designed to supplement. Researchers at the University of British Columbia gave Parkinson's patients placebos and told them they had a 75% chance of receiving real medication. PET scans showed dopamine release in their brains. The effect was real, measurable, and physiological. The brain didn't just think it felt better. It produced the chemicals that make you feel better. This extends to places you wouldn't expect. In 2002, a team at Baylor College of Medicine published one of the most striking medical studies of the past 50 years. They took 180 patients with osteoarthritis of the knee and randomly assigned them to 3 groups. One group received arthroscopic debridement, where worn cartilage is scraped away. A second group received arthroscopic lavage, where the joint is flushed out. The third group received sham surgery. The surgeon made incisions in the skin, but never inserted instruments or touched cartilage. The patients didn't know which group they were in. Over 2 years of follow-up, all 3 groups reported the same levels of pain reduction and improved function. The sham surgery worked just as well as the real operations. At every single measurement point, the placebo group did as well or better than the patients who received actual surgical intervention. We have shown that the entire driving force behind this billion-dollar industry is the placebo effect, the lead investigator said. More than 650,000 of those knee surgeries were being performed annually in the U.S. at a cost of about $5,000 each. The whole thing was a placebo. The details get weirder. The color of a pill affects how well the placebo works. Blue pills are better sedatives. Red pills are better stimulants. Capsules work better than tablets. Injections work better than pills. Sham surgeries work better than injections. The more invasive and dramatic the intervention appears to be, the stronger the placebo response. The ritual of treatment, the authority of the doctor, the complexity of the procedure, all of it amplifies the effect. Your brain responds not just to what's in the medicine, but to everything surrounding how the medicine is delivered. The standard explanation for the placebo effect is that it's powered by belief. The patient thinks they're getting medicine, so their brain acts accordingly. But that explanation has a problem. Placebos work even when you tell patients they're placebos. Researchers at Harvard's program in placebo studies have run trials where patients are given pills explicitly labeled as placebos, with a full explanation that the pills contain no active ingredients, and those patients still improve. Open-label placebos, as they're called, have shown benefits for irritable bowel syndrome, chronic lower back pain, and cancer-related fatigue. This shouldn't work under the belief model. If the effect requires deception, honesty should kill it. It doesn't. Something deeper than conscious belief is operating, something closer to the body's learned response to the ritual of being treated. You've taken pills your whole life and gotten better. The act of swallowing a pill may trigger a conditioned physiological response, regardless of what you know intellectually. There's also a dark mirror. If the expectation of healing can produce healing, the expectation of harm can produce harm. This is called the nocebo effect. In clinical trials, patients in the placebo group who are told a drug might cause headaches, nausea, or fatigue report those exact side effects at rates significantly above baseline, even though they're taking a sugar pill. One study found that patients who were warned about gastrointestinal side effects were more likely to drop out of a trial due to gastrointestinal problems, regardless of whether they were in the drug group or the placebo group. The nocebo effect suggests that the long list of side effects your pharmacist hands you isn't just informational. It may be partly generative. Telling someone what might go wrong can help make it go wrong. This stops being a curiosity when you look at what it's doing to the pharmaceutical industry. The placebo effect has been getting stronger over time, and it's creating a serious problem for the pharmaceutical industry. In antidepressant trials, the gap between drug and placebo has been shrinking for decades. In 1982, the average difference between antidepressant and placebo on the standard depression rating scale was 6 points. By 2008, it had fallen to 3. For most currently approved antidepressants, fewer than half of the clinical trials submitted to the FDA for approval actually found the drug superior to placebo. A promising antidepressant called MK-869 performed brilliantly in early testing, better than several drugs already on the market. It was killed in later trials when it couldn't beat the placebo. Pain drugs have been hit even harder. In 1996, an average of 27% of patients in pain drug trials reported meaningful relief from the medication compared to placebo. By the mid-2010s, that number had dropped so low that more than 90% of painkillers developed in the United States failed to show significant improvement over placebo in final stage trials. In a single year, over 4,000 clinical trials for new pain treatments were registered. The FDA approved 5. The effect is growing primarily in the United States, not in Europe or Asia. Researchers at McGill University were absolutely floored when they found this pattern. One plausible explanation is advertising. The U.S. is one of only 2 countries in the world that allows direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical advertising. Americans are constantly primed to expect that medications will help them. That expectation, reinforced by billions of dollars in marketing, may be amplifying the placebo response. Another factor is the scale and intensity of American clinical trials. Patients in U.S. trials receive more clinical attention, more frequent visits, more monitoring. The care itself produces improvement, even in the placebo group, making it harder for the drug to show an additional benefit. The implications are unsettling. Drugs that genuinely work may be failing to reach patients because the placebo effect has raised the bar so high that proving statistical superiority is nearly impossible. Pharmaceutical companies have reduced investment in antidepressant and pain research, partly because the placebo problem makes these trials so expensive and failure-prone. It takes an average of 13 years and an estimated $800 million to $3 billion to develop a new psychiatric medication. When more than half of those trials fail, not because the drug doesn't work, but because the placebo works too well, the economics break down. But there's another way to read this story, and it's more optimistic than it first appears. If the placebo effect is real, measurable, and powerful, then the entire apparatus of medicine, the white coat, the waiting room, the confident diagnosis, the careful explanation of how a treatment will help, isn't just theater. It's therapy. The doctor who takes time to explain what a medication does and why it should work isn't just providing information. They're activating the patient's own neurochemistry. The bedside manner that gets dismissed as soft skills may be doing as much biological work as the prescription. Some researchers have started arguing that rather than trying to eliminate the placebo effect from clinical trials, medicine should be figuring out how to harness it deliberately, designing treatments that maximize the body's own healing response alongside whatever the active drug contributes. The placebo effect isn't a bug in human biology. It might be a feature we've barely learned to use. So if this comes up in conversation, here's how to think about it. The placebo effect isn't a trick your mind plays on your body. It's a measurable biological response. Your brain releases real chemicals, endorphins, dopamine, in response to the expectation of treatment. Sham knee surgeries work as well as real ones. Placebos work even when patients know they're placebos, and the effect has been getting stronger for decades, particularly in the U.S., to the point where it's now one of the biggest obstacles to getting new drugs approved. The most powerful pharmacy in your life might be the one between your ears. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.